And now, the super genius, Mark Madden.
Does your girlfriend want to bang a penguin?
Well, dang, but I guess if that's your freebie, then my freebie would be Crosby, but.
Wait, what?
VX at 105.9.
It's the perils of rock and roll decadence. Joining me now to talk hockey here on the Hockey Night Show, you hear him on the Penguins Radio Network. Always a pleasure to talk to Brian Metzer. Metz, when Sid talked after the loss to Toronto, he seemed like he was out of ideas and out of explanations. You don't see that often from Sid, but I think that sums up where the Penguins are at now, don't you?
I think it's a good point, Mark. Sid did not sound very happy. I know he didn't have the best game, and that had to be weighing on him. And it makes you wonder, and I don't know where you fall on this, but the big guys on this roster, you can kind of feel like when they believe in the roster and what they're doing, et cetera, et cetera. And that sounded like they tend to sound when they don't have a high level of belief, at least in where they are right now in the moment. And maybe that speaks to their confidence level, but that was a very unhappy group following one of their most wretched games of the season.
That might have been the most embarrassing game for Sid as an individual I've ever seen. I'm not knocking him. It's just that unusual. He was on the ice for all five goals against, and even though he scored a goal, it was just an awful night.
You're right. That whole line has really struggled defensively, and I don't know why that is, because we know they're all capable of playing a two-way, 200-foot game. But the defensemen that are out there with them, those three forwards were just completely lost and spellbound by the Maple Leafs offense. I mean, there were plays where two players would take one guy and leave a Mitch Marner wide open in front of the net. You have other plays where they're peeling off and just kind of double-teaming another Maple Leaf forward or player that was nowhere in danger of scoring and just leaving other guys open. So I don't know where the disconnect is, but what's really disheartening is when you look at this last 2-7-2 stretch of play where they've really been struggling. Sid is a -9, Jake a -9, and Brian Rust a -11. So maybe it's time to shuffle the deck a little bit in terms of that lineup and maybe put Raquel back there, who has a little bit more of a defensive conscience, to see if he can help them.
Yeah, I don't know. Part of me says you're right, and that's what they are attempting tonight by all accounts, if practice reflects. But
yeah,
part of me thinks it's like rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic. And it begs the question, can the Stars still take over the occasional game, or are they just now very good?
I think they're still capable of doing it, maybe not for 60 minutes, which is kind of what you're asking. But even in the Maple Leafs game, if they could have been better defensively, it's a different hockey game, Mark. I mean, they led in scoring attempts, in high danger scoring attempts. And that's a testament to Matt Murray, who I thought turned in a pretty solid effort. But all of that said, they probably left some offensive opportunities on the ice. And if these guys can finish, it's a tighter hockey game. But you have got to clean up your defensive game. And that doesn't mean that their stars can't still win a hockey game for you. You've just got to kind of maybe be a little more conservative. I mean, they're still finding moments where they whip pucks all over the place. They're very nonchalant with some of the passes, making bad reads, bad plays, identifying what the defense is doing against them, and it turns right in to odd man rushes going the other direction. Something comes to mind, and it was like the faceoff play the other night where they lose the opening faceoff of the period. You have Pettersson get caught out of position, and then you have two Maple Leafs, which were Matthews and Bunting, going in 2-on-1 on Chris Letang. They left him out to dry. So I think they're just trying to maybe push their offense too much, which is in the Penguins' DNA. But cleaning up that defensive side of the puck would still allow your superstars a chance to steal a hockey game or to take over and win a game for you.
Well, we'll talk about tactics in just a few minutes, but right now, staying with the Stars, has Gino been their best player so far? And that's even taking his mistakes into account. I think there's been less mistakes, actually, from number 71.
You're right, Mark. He's been very impressive. And not that plus-minus is everything, but in this horrible 2-7-2 stretch, Gino's even. He is an even player right now, and his line has been the Penguins' best. He and Jason Zucker really seem to have some chemistry. Gino looks like he's in full Machino mode a lot of the nights right now. He's drawing attention from the other team, and he's really kind of put this team on his back, helping his line put up 30 points over one of the worst stretches in Penguins hockey that I've seen in many, many seasons. So that's, if they could find a way to keep him playing at this level while somehow getting Sid and Jake and Russ back to where they need to be, they could be a very dangerous hockey team. But to your point, Evgeny Malkin has looked very good. I've been impressed by his game. He's not made a lot of those really bad Gino blunders that occasionally he tends to make. they are still there, but in very small doses. And I liked his game overall. I think he's been a good two-way player, and his face-off work this year has really been something to behold. For this stretch, he's 46.7%. And overall, he has nights where he's sometimes in the 60, 70% range. That's dropped a bit since earlier this year. But Gino, probably one of their best, if not their best player to this point in the season.
Are the Penguins still fast, or as fast as they think they are, or as fast as a lot of the teams they play? Because I don't think they can play to that strength anymore, certainly not on a nightly basis.
No, and what's interesting about the way you said that is it depends who they're playing. Some nights I feel like they look like they are faster and they look like the old Penguins. And then
right,
other
like,
nights...
Like they're faster than Washington.
Yeah, exactly. If you play a team like the Caps, you're all over them. But if you play a team like the Leafs, I mean, Austin Matthews, his speed is something to behold, Mark. He is all over the place. They didn't have an answer for that. They kept getting those breaks in behind the defense. And I see that happening time and again this season. So I think that some way, somehow, and maybe this comes down to the coach as well, you have to find a way to say, we've got to readjust just a little bit and maybe not just rely solely on speed and skill. And I'm not saying go into a trap or anything like that, because that's never going to happen. That's just not this group's mentality. But you can't just play the run-and-gun style that's worked so well over the years. Now, that said, even against the Maple Leafs, Mark, whenever they played them two games ago, not the one in which they just got embarrassed, I thought they did a nice job of containing them. The Leafs really pressed in the third period. But overall, the Penguins skated with them fine and looked pretty darn good. So maybe it's a night-to-night basis so that you have to kind of pick your spots when your speed is going to be a factor.
Well, I would trap. I would trap and counterattack. But like you, I know they're not going to do it. I just don't think this team could play defense in nuanced fashion. I think if you give them options, they will always take the option of risk.
Yep, and that is what, going back 30 years of Penguins hockey, I know there's only been brief moments in time where they have gone a little bit more defensive. Is Kevin Constantine available? Maybe we can put him on the staff to come in and try and get them to lock into a little bit more of a defensive mindset. But I do believe that they are always going to try and take the risk factor because they know that it works 1 out of 10 times for them. And the other 9 times, their goaltender can potentially try and bail them out. He's not doing that right now, no matter who's in there. And I don't blame them because they're under siege in terms of the shots, the opportunities, the odd man rushes that they have to face. Now, maybe what you can do, Mark, is get to the point where, because we've seen them blow so many late leads in games this season and dating back to the playoffs last year. If you can get to a point where you have a 1 or 2 goal lead late in the second or going to the third, maybe you convince them then to kind of rein it in and wait for your opportunities to attack off of a mistake or something and play a little bit more defensive.
Oh, no, and I'm not suggesting
Caps, right?
I'm not suggesting that you trap and counterattack the whole time. But what frustrates me is someone who knows what's best here, because Mets, if they don't think that they should do what I say, they're wrong and I'm right. I'm absolutely positive about that. And they did it game 3 last year against the Rangers. They did it the yep. third period at Toronto last week, and it worked. And then right back to what they want to do the very next game.
They did it against the Caps too, Mark. I mean, they had one of their best defensive games of the season. I mean, you hold a team to 4 shots on goal in the third period. I mean, that's outstanding. That's how the Penguins played in 16 and 17. And I think that group as a whole was a little bit smarter in that way. And that's not saying that they're not hockey smart, but I think these guys think they can score themselves out of any jam. And right now, they're not scoring. I mean, they don't. If you're going to play that way, you've got to find ways to score goals. And they've been outscored 46-30 in this 2-7-2 stretch. And the power play has vanished because they used to rely on that too to bail them out. And right now, 13.9% over this stretch. So I agree with you. They have shown that they can play solid defensive hockey when they are forced to. So maybe they have to be forced a little bit more or a little bit more vigorously, because it's there. It's just it seems like they're allowed to kind of go out and not do it. Now, that said, I'm sure Mike Sullivan's trying, because he does look like he's getting grayer by the moment in terms of his hair as these games wane on.
We're talking to Brian Metzer, the Penguins Hockey Network, here on 105.9 The X. Has Jeff Carter been disappointing? Because we talk about Kapanen's contract a lot, but Carter's yeah. contract is just as big a drag on the salary cap.
I kind of judge him at this point, Mark, based on shifts, because there are shifts where you say, boy, there's Jeff Carter and he looks so good. But then there are large stretches or periods at a time where you don't notice him. I think he, maybe more than anybody else, might be the benefactor of Teddy Bluger getting back into the lineup, because I agree with you. I don't think that he's earning his money right now. He's got only 4 assists in his 8 games that he's played, which is fine, because if he was just going to be your bottom 6 center, be it 3rd or 4th line, that would be fine productivity for a guy his age. But I think he was asked to kill penalties and do some other things. Well, with Bluger coming back, maybe you can kind of let Jeff Carter still play his role, but minimize it a little bit, not ask him to play as much special teams and have Bluger go out and do that stuff. Now, I don't even see Carter maybe doing as much of the heavy lifting there with the special teams as he was in the past. But that said, I do think he could be the benefactor of Teddy Bluger.
Do you see anything being changed, whether it's the roster, tactics? What will they try next besides the token line shuffling to try to get things going? Or will they just play with what they got as they play?
For right now, I have a feeling we're going to see some token line shuffling and things along those lines. And this is where I'm curious to see how patient Ron Hextall is. Because you know, like I do, Mads, if this was Jim Rutherford, he probably would have made 3 trades by now. It's just how Jimmy was. I mean, whenever he was up against it and the team wasn't performing, even if it was a trade he didn't like, he'd make it to shake up the room a little bit. And maybe that's what they need as much as anything right now, because it is just a little copacetic. Some of the guys look like they're going through the motions on a nightly basis, and they do need a little bit of a shakeup right now. I was impressed by the fact that Mike Sullivan finally got to the point where he seems to be frustrated enough to take Kasperi Kapanen out of the lineup, because he has just not been worth the price of admission. And it's disheartening that they gave him the contract that he did, or that they did. So I think that you're going to see maybe this road trip where there's 3 games right now. And if it doesn't work out, they're not too far removed, Mark, from a extended home streak here, or homestand, which is going to begin, I believe, on November 26th and go all the way into the early days of December. So if you get to that point, you're going to want some ticket revenue as well. And based on what I saw the other night, people are not pleased with what they're seeing right now. And maybe that may be the thing that forces a hand in terms of a move to try and get them back on track as much as anything. I don't know, though.
F them. If they're going to, you know, after a slump, not come to games after 60 straight playoff years and all these stars. I mean, I'm not going to cut the fans a break when they're, you know, going to be the Taster's Choice Folgers people after all these great years and great players. Although, that said, back to negative here, you know what's going to be a wake-up call, Mets? New Jersey's going to kill them. When they play, New Jersey's going to kill them. Much younger, much faster. That torch is being passed.
What an impressive young team they look to be. And we saw signs of this just a couple years ago, Mark, whenever we saw Fitzgerald acquiring all of these other, you know, teams, kind of cast off first rounders, combined with the ones that they are drafting themselves. I mean, Jack Hughes looks good. Jesper Bratt looks like he is finally coming into his own. And boy, I wish I was him. He turned down big money in the offseason to come in and play on a 1-year deal. He is going to be rich this offseason if he continues to play this way.
Finally, Mets, real quick. It's sports aren't for old people, are they? Not old teams. I look at not only the Penguins, but, you know, the Red Wings, Blackhawks, and Kings before them. And now in the NBA, Golden State and the LA Lakers. You know, nobody's aging gracefully.
No, that's what's, I think, the toughest pill to swallow, because I don't know about you, but when I see Sid and Gino, I know they've aged, but to me, I feel like they still just got here, even though we've had them for many, many years. And it kind of stings a little bit to see them all age out and the teams to kind of age out. And it's happening across the board. And the salary cap, probably as much as anything else, forced the hand of the leagues, because, especially in the NHL, younger players are getting a chance earlier. They're developing a little quicker. Teams maybe come along with younger guys faster than they used to. And you can't go out there and win with the 29 and 30 and 32-year-old teams the way that you used to, at least that are top-heavy with that type of age range player. So it stinks a little bit, but at the same time, I think it's a good lesson for GMs to learn that you got to draft and develop well if you want to compete in today's NHL, because you need that young talent to kind of bolster the older guys that you have. You can't just completely go out there with guys that are all 30 and 35 and just in that range and expect to be successful. So it stinks, but it's true.
That's Brian Metzer. I'm Mark Madden. It's the Hockey Night Show on 105.9.
And now the super genius, Mark Madden.
Mark Madden.
Yes.
Your voice is like sweet nectar to my ears.
The last thing we need is a lot of loose talk.
I like it. I like it.
The X at 105.9.
Welcome back to the Hockey Night Show. Brought to you by Caliente Pizza, by Duncan, and by Always Safe Flagging and Traffic Control. We'll take calls about anything concerning hockey. We have Josh Yoey from The Athletic joining us a little bit later in the program. You can call now, 412-333-WXDX, or tweet me at MarkMadNX. Crab tweets, is there a roadmap to the Penguins being competitive this year, or are the lean years here? Well, if the Penguins don't accept what they are and temper their style, I think the lean years are here. Maybe not. Maybe they still make the playoffs. But I said a few years back this team was definitely done winning cups. It's not won a playoff series since 2018. And now they're committed to keeping the old gang together. I'm curious to how the old gang will react if they miss the playoffs this year and then start off bad next year. I'm curious as to how the old gang will react and how the organization will react. Hockey Guy tweets, how many more games do the Penguins have to lose till a coaching or management change is made? Well, Sullivan signed through 2027. He ain't going nowhere no time soon. I would not have brought Hextall and Burke back this season, and I think the moves they've made in the offseason and the way they've painted themselves into a salary cap corner for the sake of re-signing Kasperi Kapanen says that I was right. So I'm very disappointed in Hextall and Burke since they got here. People want to give them credit for signing the old gang to contracts at reasonable prices. Well, yeah, if it works, that's great. But so far, it is not working. 412-333-WXDX. If you're just tuning in, Tristan Jarry is in goal tonight. Ex-Penguin Marc-Andre Fleury is not available due to injury for Minnesota, but another ex-Penguin's the backup. He'll be in goal tonight, we think. Philip Gustafson, who went to Ottawa in the Derek Brassard deal. The often-lamented Derek Brassard deal. 412-333-WXDX. Call now with Hockey Talk for the Hockey Night Show, 105.9.
Genius, Mark Madden.
Let's face it, you've always been in love with me, and this is just your moment of clarity.
I don't think so.
Oh, I know so.
The X at 105.9.
412-333-WXDX. It's the Hockey Night Show. Here's a tweet from O. Who was the last decent right-handed sniper the Penguins had? Phil Kessel. How quickly they forget. Pretty good right-handed sniper. I mean, Brian Rust has certainly scored his share of goals. But in terms of being a finisher, you got to go with Phil Kessel. Ryan tweets, what is wrong with our power play? I've talked about this frequently, too. I think it lacks a reset point. There's no point man. Letang's not a point man. He's a guy who plays up top. There's a difference. I thought Letang was great back when he played on the left half wall. My power play would be, you got to have Letang up top because somebody got to play up top, but I'd have Sid on the right half wall being the de facto point man. Reorganizing like Kessel was on the left half wall and Mario back when was on the left half wall. One of the few legitimate top, the point men playing up top the Penguins have had is Sergei Gonchar. But I think Sid gives them the best chance to reorganize the power play from the right half wall. Or on the left half wall if you want to keep Gino in his one-timer on the right half wall, but how many times does he take it? How many times does he get properly teed up for it? And Gino's not that reorganizer. Gino's a shooter at that spot. Sid could be the reset point. Eric tweets, was John Marino a bad trade? Well, it's impossible to tell for sure because Ty Smith, due to cap concerns, the fact that the Penguins are too close to cap, has to play in Wilkes until they figure something out. And boy, shame on Hextall for that. And you feel bad for Ty Smith, who should be in the NHL. But Marino's playing real good for New Jersey. But keep in mind, Marino played real well for Pittsburgh when he first made the Penguins. Marino's kind of a snotty kid who thinks he invented hockey. And when he gets comfortable in New Jersey, I bet there's the same downturn in his play that he had here. I don't know that for sure, but that is my hunch. Let's see what else we got here. Will the Penguins make a trade to try to jumpstart things? That's from Juice. Right now, no. I think they think they're okay. Although, boy, the way Crosby and Sullivan and Malkin looked after the game on Tuesday, maybe Maybe they're starting to figure it out. I don't think they are okay. That said, I still think they can straighten it out, but I think the easiest path to doing that would be to make certain adjustments, which they're not willing to make because those would primarily be on the defensive side of the puck. Up next, we're going to talk to Josh Owey of The Athletic. I'm Mark Madden. It's the Hockey Night Show here on 105.9.